Hello and welcome. This is Pastor Terry, and I'd like to welcome you to my Bible study podcast. This daily podcast is a place where we take the teachings of Scripture seriously, but ourselves, not so much. Join us as we dive into the sacred word of the Bible, and each time we read, we pray, we change the world. Welcome to Pastor Terry's Bible Study Podcast.
Well, hello, everyone, and welcome to today's podcast, the first one of 2024. It is Monday, January the 8th, 2024. Let's see how many times I messed that up, and then this week, 2024. And so glad to have you on today as we begin this new year of readings. We are continuing this reading plan, which will take us through the entire Bible in 2 years. So it takes a portion from the Old Testament, a portion from the epistles, which are the writings of Paul, primarily, a reading and a reading from the Gospels. So we're going to continue that on this year together. So thank you so much for being on. Hope you guys had a great holiday season. About a week or so away from the podcast. So missed you guys, but I did enjoy sleeping in a little bit and relaxing. Oh, merch. Great idea, right? Do a little merch, little mug, and share coffee together. I love it. But yeah, it's great to be back. Thank you guys for, jumping back in and spreading the word about the podcast, but by sharing it, letting people know about it, just starting off this, helping others start this year off and continuing throughout the year in the word of God. So, all right. So, let's do it. You know what we do? We read, we pray, change the world. Let's go. Genesis chapter 1, first of the year, we're going to start with the creation of the world, man. How about that? Genesis 1, 1 through 2, 3. Let's read it together. If you're new to the podcast, basically what we do is we read, comment a little bit here and there, but mostly read, and then we wrap it up at the end with a brief prayer. And we're done usually between 20 and 30 minutes. Good morning, Paula. All right, let's do it. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. Now the earth was formless and empty. Darkness was over the surface of the deep, and the Spirit of God was hovering over the waters. You know, one of the things that always strikes me about the beginning of the Bible is this. We often think that a lot of people try to, you know, start with the point that the Bible tries to prove the existence of God. Actually, the Bible doesn't try to prove the existence of God. The Bible assumes the existence of God. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. There's no attempt there to prove God's existence. It's an assumption. it's a given. God existed and God created. So there's the Bible is not this long treaty or apologetic on trying to prove the existence of God. It's given from the start. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. Good morning, Bill. verse 3, and God said, let there be light, and there was light. And God saw that the light was good, and he separated the light from the darkness. God called the light day, and the darkness he called night. And there was evening and morning the first day. Lots of things you could say about this first chapter already is moral categories are already being used, like good. And so from much of some essential theology and worldview comes from the book of Genesis, and particularly the first three chapters. God exists, God creates. God determines what is good. He calls good, what is good, good. Man does not. God determines the categories of good. Those are moral categories. those aren't just adjectives describing something. Those are moral categories. And so God establishes moral categories. and the reason we have any sense of morality, what is right and wrong, what is good and evil, is because we are created in his image. Verse 6, and God said, let there be a vault between the waters to separate water from water. So God made the vault and separated the water under the vault from the water above it, and it was so. God called the vault sky, and there was evening and there was morning the second day. Do you notice the days start with evening, not morning? There's an interesting theological point to be made there too. The days of the Hebrew calendar, the days of the Hebrew time in the Hebrew mind starts with evening, not with morning. When there was evening, there was morning the first day. We would, in our Western mind, we think there was morning and then it went to evening the first day. But it isn't that way, right? It starts with evening. That's why Sabbath begins at sundown on Friday night. It doesn't begin Saturday morning. It begins sundown on Friday night. Verse 9, and God said, let the water under the sky be gathered to one place and let dry ground appear. And it was so. God called the dry ground land and gathered the water, and the gathered waters he called seas. And God saw that it was good, tov. I love that Hebrew word there, good, tov. It was tov. Are you feeling tov today? He saw it was tov. Then God said, let the land produce vegetation, seed-bearing plants and trees of the land that bear fruit with seed in it, according to their various kinds. And it was so. The land produced vegetation, plants bearing seeds according to their kinds, and trees bearing fruit with seed in it according to their kinds. And God saw that it was, say it together, guys, tov. And there was evening and there was morning the third day. And God said, let there be lights in the vault of the sky to separate day from night. Let them serve as signs to mark sacred times and days and years. And let them be lights in the vault of the sky to give light on the earth. And it was so. God made two great lights, the greater light to govern the day and the lesser light to govern the night. He also made the stars. God set them in the vault of the sky to give light to the earth, to govern day and night, and to separate light from darkness. And God saw that it was tov. And there was evening, and there was morning, the fourth day. Verse 20. And God said, let the waters teem with living creatures, and let birds fly over the earth across the vaulted sky. So God created the great creatures of the sea and every living thing with which the water teems and that moves about in it according to their kinds, and every winged bird according to its kind. And God saw that it was tov, good. God blessed them and said, be fruitful and increase in number and fill the water in the sea and let the birds increase on the earth. And there was evening and there was morning the fifth day. And God said, let the land produce living creatures according to their kinds, the livestock, the creatures that move along the ground, the wild animals, each according to its kind. And it was so. God made the wild animals according to their kind, the livestock according to their kind, and all the creatures that move along the ground according to their kind. And God saw that it was good. Then God said, let us, little Trinitarian wink there, let us, Father, Son, Holy Spirit, let us, plural, let us. This is not a reference to creation creating man. The us is the Godhead. Let us make God, mankind in our image. Notice it's mankind. Both men and women are created in the image of God. Let us make mankind in our image. The Imago Dei, the image of God. Again, very important theological point that every human being is made in the image of God. And the reason we have certain characteristics that are unlike the rest of the created order is because we, unlike any other thing that in all of creation, we have been created in the image of God. Yes, every created thing reflects in some way the Creator, but nothing in all of creation is literally created in the image of God. In a sense, God-like. We're not gods, but we're created in the image of God. We carry His emblem, we carry many of the characteristics that only God has. Which, going back to our discussion on moral categories, the rest of creation doesn't labor or concern themselves with moral categories. When a lion rips the head off of a gazelle, he's not considering the impact that might have on the gazelle's family. There's no moral categories associated with that. When your dog lays in the middle of the floor, when you got company over, well, you know what they do. He has no moral categories about what's appropriate and what isn't. But human beings, we do. Why? Because we were created in the image of God. Then God said, let us make mankind in our image, or in our likeness, so that they may rule over the fish of the sea and the birds of the sky, over the livestock and all the wild animals, and over all the creatures that move along the ground. Mankind was created to have dominion. We were created to steward, to rule over the created order. So God created man in His own image. In the image of God, He created them, male and female. He created them. God blessed them and said to them, be fruitful and increase in number. Fill the earth and subdue it. Rule over the fish in the sky and the birds in the over the fish in the sea and the birds in the sky. That would be different. And over every living creature that moves on the ground. Then God said, I give you every seed-bearing plant on the face of the whole earth and every tree that has fruit with seed in it. They will be yours for food. And all the beasts of the earth and all the birds of the sky and all the creatures that move on the ground, everything that has the breath of life, I give every green plant for food. And it was so. So God has created the circle of life, as it were. He's created all of this, this entire creation that is intricately designed and is set up for life, and specifically set up for human life, that human life can prosper and thrive. We're reading through chapter 2, verse 3. Thus the heavens and the earth were completed in all their vast array. By the seventh day, God had finished the work He had been doing. So on the seventh day, He rested from all His work. Then God blessed the seventh day and made it holy, because on it He rested from all the work of creating, that He had done. So He creates, and the culmination of His creation is humanity, male and female. He made man, and they were, in verse 31, what? Very tov. Only time He says very tov. Good, but it's when He creates mankind that it's very tov. Because we are created in His image. All right. Ephesians chapter 1. Verses 3 through 14. That is not Ephesians. That would be John. Let's keep going. Ephesians 1, 3 through 14. Praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us in the heavenly realms with every spiritual blessing in Christ. For he chose us in him before the creation of the world. So in the mind of God, the redemption plan was already in place before what we read in Genesis chapter 1. You know, as we read through these, it's like we did over Advent, it's good to try to figure out and to discern some of the themes that those who put these different portions of Scripture together had in mind, because they are arranged thematically. So if you can think of a common theme between these three readings, or between a couple of these readings, let us know if you see a common theme. I mean, there's one, obviously, the creation. There's a creation theme there, and what God intended is revealed in Genesis and in Ephesians. For he chose us in him before the creation of the world to be holy and blameless in his sight. In love, he predestined us for adoption to sonship through Jesus Christ. So before the creation of the world, that was his predetermined plan. He wanted to see the children of God, he wanted to see men and women adopted into the family of God through Jesus Christ. That was the plan that was established before the creation of the world. Verse 6, to the praise of his glorious grace, which he has freely given us in the one he loves. In him, we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins in accordance with the riches of his grace. Or riches of God's grace that he lavished on us. With all wisdom and understanding, he made known to us the mystery of his will according to his good pleasure, which he purposed in Christ to put into effect when the times reached their fulfillment. So with all of God's wisdom and understanding, he revealed this mystery. What is that mystery? The mystery that of how we would be redeemed, how we would be adopted into the family of God. Does the word imply that animals and creatures already exist in heaven? I don't know necessarily. I mean, there obviously were created things in heaven. Angelic beings. I don't know if it could be animals. I don't know. Could be. Animals could have been there. But we don't get that necessarily from Genesis chapter 1, because everything that was created in Genesis chapter 1 is part of this world. It's not about heaven. So, but certainly I don't see anything theologically that would forbid that from being true, or biblically for that matter. That's my thought, my two cents. He made known to us the mystery of his will according to the good pleasure, which he purposed in Christ, verse 10, to put into effect when the times reached their fulfillment, to bring unity to all things in heaven and on earth under Christ. In him, we were also chosen, having been predestined according to the plan, there it is again, the plan of him who works out everything in conformity with his purpose and his will. There's another theme, the perfect plan of God. Genesis chapter 1, God has a plan, executes it perfectly. In Ephesians chapter 1, there's this plan of redemption, which also was pre-planned, that he's executing to perfection. In order that we, who were the first to put our hope in Christ, might be for the praise of his glory. And you also were included in Christ when you heard the message of truth, the gospel of your salvation. When you believed, you were marked in him with a seal, the promised Holy Spirit, who is a deposit guaranteeing our inheritance until the redemption of those who are God's possession, to the praise of his glory. Amen. God's perfect plan, his plan to redeem us, to save us. All right, one more. John chapter 1. This is a short one, 29 through 34. Thanks, everybody, for being on today. as we dive into God's word and his perfect plan of creation, his tov plan, his good plan, perfect plan. John 1, 29 through 34. The next day, John saw Jesus coming toward him. John the Baptist sees Jesus coming towards him and says, "Look, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world." The perfect plan being revealed. There's that thing. I can see that theme. The theme is that the creation of the world, even before the creation of the world, God had a plan of redemption. And when at the fulfillment of time, which is what Ephesians has talked about, Jesus comes at the fulfillment of time. Yeah. That's good. Yeah, I like that. He created the world out of nothing. He created things that did not exist in heaven until God spoke them into being. Absolutely. So here John says, "Behold, the Lamb of God, it takes away the sin of the world." Verse 30, "This is the one I meant when I said, a man who comes after me has surpassed me because he was before me." Wow, this is the let us, see now this is a wink at the let us make God in our own image. John is saying, there's one who's coming after me who was before me. Where was he? He was in the beginning when they said, let us make God, let us make mankind in our own image. That's what John is talking about. Before I was, he was. He came after me in the birth order. John was born first, humanly. He's the older cousin of Jesus. But John is saying, this Jesus, my cousin, was actually before me. He's way back there in Genesis and before. He's a part of that, let us create mankind in our own image. Come on. I myself did not know him, but the reason I came baptizing with water was that he might be revealed. Wow. To Israel. Yes, sir. That's a powerful verse. I don't think I've ever seen it that way. That part, the reason I came baptizing with water. I myself did not know him. Wow. Like I knew Jesus, my cousin, but I didn't really understand the Godhead in that way. But I came that he might be revealed to Israel. I baptized with water so that he might be revealed to Israel. Verse 32, then John gave this testimony. I saw the Spirit come down from heaven as a dove and remain on him, and I myself did not know him, but the one who sent me to baptize with water told me, the man on whom you see the Spirit come down and remain is the one who will baptize with the Holy Spirit. I have seen and testified that this is God's chosen one. Wow. Wow. John's saying, I didn't understand that this was the part of the Godhead. I didn't understand that until the one who sent me to baptize, which God the Father had sent John to baptize. And when he baptized him, Jesus, and he saw the Spirit descend on Jesus like a dove, he's like, this is my chosen one. Now I get it. Now I get it. That Jesus is divine, that he is God in flesh. Woo! That's awesome. That's an awesome little coupling of verses there, right? That's what makes this fun, reading these lectionary readings, is you can kind of, you get to do a little scientific investigation. What are the themes? What are the common themes they had in mind when they put these groupings of readings together? So you may think of some other ones. Appreciate you guys sharing those. But even throughout the day, you may be thinking about these, that Genesis, Ephesians, John 1, and you think, oh yeah, there's also this theme or that theme. That's what makes it fun. All right, you guys, thanks so much for being on today. Hey, let's wrap it up with prayer. God, thank you so much for your holy word. Thank you for a chance to read your word with friends and to learn and to grow and to be challenged and inspired. God, thank you that you have a perfect plan for our redemption and our salvation. That everything, there's nothing that happens that you're not aware of. Lord, you know the beginning from the end, and we take great confidence in knowing that a loving, benevolent, kind Heavenly Father is over all, and you always are looking out for our good. Lord, I pray for my friends today. May you bless them and encourage them, strengthen them. May you guide them this week. Lord, if there are particular needs or concerns that they have, may you just meet them according to your wondrous power that is available in Christ. Lord, we love you and we give you thanks for today. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Well, thank you guys so much for being on today. Great start, y'all. Yeah, new beginnings, another theme there. Genesis, new beginnings. Ephesians talks about the new beginning, the redemption, Jesus coming. It's like, whoa, he's starting something new. I love it. Thank you guys for liking, subscribing, sharing. If you're on YouTube, hit the like button before you leave. And if you haven't yet, subscribe to the channel. That way you'll get notifications anytime we go live. And thank you for sharing it, sharing on your social media feed, your Facebook feed, your whatever, Instagram. Be hard to share it on Instagram, Twitter, whatever. Thank you guys. You guys have a fantastic day. We'll be back at it tomorrow as we continue through these readings. Love you guys. We'll see you next time. Bye.
Thank you for joining me on today's podcast. I hope you enjoyed the show. If this episode has been an encouragement to you, take a minute to subscribe or comment or share it with your friends. You can find me, Pastor Terry, and Bayside Church on all social media platforms. You can find Bayside at Bayside Church SH. Until next time, remember, God's word is true. Everything else is merely commentary. God bless you. We'll see you next time.